Thank you, Brother Don. Good morning. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. There's quite a few of our people that are gone. I'm glad that you're able to come and follow the commandments of the Lord by coming here to worship Him on this day. I would like to apologize to my brother Stephen this morning. I was kind of quiet during our Sunday school class, and that was because of a lot of things that he was presenting this morning in Sunday school class. Is some of the very things that I'm going to talk about. He brought some good examples of some of the things that I'm going to speak upon this morning. And those of you who were there at Sunday school class, this is just a continuation of what that was. I'd like to start this morning with a little lighter note. When I was visiting my family in Oregon, reading through the newspaper, one of the things I visit is the comic strips. There's some comic strips that I like to read, and one happens to be Snoopy. But there was one there that really pertains to what I'm going to talk about today. Those of you that are familiar with the comic strip, Mr. Schultz, he has Lucy and her brother Linus, a couple of key players in the strip. They're standing there looking out a window, and it's raining, and they are inside, and they're looking out the window kind of contemplative. And I if you've ever had the opportunity, I know it doesn't happen a whole lot in Arizona, but I know where I lived in a place where it rained a lot. I remember looking out a window, and it kind of mesmerizes you, and you start thinking, and a lot of times about a lot of different things. And so it is these two... Two young people are looking out the window, and Lucy says, "Boy, look at it rain. What if it floods the whole world?" And Linus is sitting here hearing her say that, and Linus says, "It will never do that. In the 9th chapter of Genesis, God promised Noah that would never happen again, and the sign of the promise is the rainbow." And Lucy looks out with a real big smile on her face and looks out at the rain. She says, "You've taken a great load off my mind." And then Linus looks at her and says, "Sound theology has a way of doing that." And that's kind of my topic today. That's what my brother's topic was this morning in Sunday school class, the words of Christ. Sound theology. It's one of the things that we fight against, where man has taken upon themselves to try and change the word of God and apply it to whatever he wants to apply it, which causes great confusion in the world, which satisfies Satan in the things that Satan would like to do in our lives, to confuse us and to take us away from the God who would have a desire to save us. I would encourage you this morning to use your books, your Bible and Book of Mormons. There's things that I'll be talking about that you can maybe put notes in or just to follow along. It would be a good thing. 1 Nephi in the 3rd chapter, I'm going to start with verse 1, let me see, well, I can start with verse 191 and read to verse 197. "And after it came forth unto them, I beheld other books which came forth by the power of the Lamb from the Gentiles unto them, unto the convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the Jews who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, that the records of the prophets of the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true." That's speaking of the records like the Book of Mormon that was going to be coming forth. In verse 192, "And the angel spake unto me, saying, These last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first, which are the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them, and shall make known to all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, that all men must come unto him, or they cannot be saved. And they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. And the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed," speaking of those who were penning, making this record, as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Wherefore they both shall be established in one, for there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth. Something that Brother Ken had spoke of this morning, that God does not change. His word is the same. And so it is that we have been blessed to have this record come forth in a period of time that we live. This record is the Book of Mormon. And there's two things that it said that it was focused here in these words here that I read. One, it says, and that all men must come unto him, or they cannot be saved. Okay. And they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. So there's those two things. Now, we know that the Christian church, you know, Christians believe that all men must come unto him, meaning Christ, or they cannot be saved. And we can read that in Matthew 3:16. That's quoted all the time. You know, that you believe in Christ and salvation. But the one thing that they don't emphasize, that they don't talk a lot about, to the extent that we try to do, is that they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. To the detail that I am going to try and take it today. Think about this. It is not according to my words. It's not according to the words of the Pope or a Buddha or Muhammad or the Dalai Lama or some soothsayer out there or anything else. It's according to the words of the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Eternal Father. That was the one thing that our brother pointed out in the article this morning. That either through ignorance or whatever, they were trying to eliminate the Son of God, the identity that Christ is the only begotten of the Father, through the translation of the Bibles that they're trying to translate and give to other cultures and people that they might hear the Word of God. And I'll give it to them. Maybe it's in their ignorance. But we know. We understand the importance of emphasizing the deity of Christ, the one who created heavens and earth and all things in them are, as we read in the Scripture, like in Hebrews. The things that God gave His Son to do and to accomplish. The power and authority. It's important for us to be able to very clearly show to the world what the Word of God is. That's why we tenaciously cling to the Bible that we believe is the King James Version. That when the Book of Mormon came forth in 1830, that was the prominent Bible used at the time. That translation. And why we do that is to try to preserve that Word. We know that the Book of Mormon, and I'm going to show you some examples of how the Book of Mormon, as it says here, is prophesied that the two will come together and they will establish the truth of what this spoke of, those records long ago by the apostles and the prophets. And together that they were going to preserve that Word of God in the last days. Very important. You young people, you need to be versed in that Word, because they're taking it away. And it's going to be hard for you to try to defend. But it's going to be your challenge to do that in the day that you live. It's different than the days that when our brother Don was growing up, where there was some standard within the Christian community where you could take the things that was spoken of in the Book of Mormon, even though they may reject those things, they couldn't reject what it was saying because it aligned itself. It was the Word of God, and it was the same. And you were able to identify it, and it made sense. It clarified. It helped to bring meaning to what God had taught those when he walked on this earth in Jerusalem. It's important to understand and not to shy away from how we receive this record, the Book of Mormon. And I'd like to take you to the Mormon in the fourth chapter. And I want to point something out to you, how important that was to those who had the commandment of God to keep the record throughout all those years, from the time that they left Jerusalem to the time that they were overran by wickedness and where the records had to be hidden up for the protection of the records. In Mormon, in the fourth chapter, it's on page 707. I want to start reading in verse 32. It says, "And behold, their prayers were also in behalf of him that the Lord should suffer to bring these things forth." Now, their prayers, it was the prayers of those who knew and understand what they were doing. They were challenged of God. They said, the Lord had told them to keep the record. It was for a wise purpose. Okay? And they kept that written record. They had, and they preserved it throughout that period of time. And they knew and understand the importance because it was going to come forth in a latter day. At some time in the future, it was going to come forth. Because it was promised of God that it would. That it might be brought back to their lineage. That they may know and understand that God worked with their people long ago. And taught them the Word of God. But they prayed. They prayed for who? The person that this Book of Mormon was going to come from. Who was going to be the instrument in God's hands to bring it forth, which was Joseph Smith and those that supported that work in those days. They prayed for him on behalf of him that the Lord should suffer to bring these things forth. So don't shy away from the thought or when somebody says, well, or makes a mockery of well, this Joseph Smith, you know, he didn't know what he was doing. The Lord used him. In the hands of God. Because of his faith. Was he a perfect man? No, he wasn't. He was not a perfect man. But he was chosen to do a work. And he was able to accomplish it through the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost. To be able to translate the records that was in his hands, given to him of an angel. That we might have this record. To support what? The record that we already had, which was the Bible. And no one need say, they shall not come. Verse 33, for they surely shall, for the Lord has spoken it. For out of the earth shall they come by the hand of the Lord, and none can stay it. And it shall come in a day when it shall be said that miracles are done away. And that truly was the case. And it shall come even as if one should speak from the dead. And it shall come in a day when the blood of the saints shall cry unto the Lord because of the secret combinations and the works of darkness. And it shall come in a day when the power of God shall be denied and churches become defiled and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts. Yea, even in a day when leaders of the churches and teachers in the pride of their hearts, even to the envying of them who belong to their churches. There's many other things that would identify when that time would come forth. And truly, those things were evident at that time when this record came forth. But it's important and it suffices me to help you to understand that those who were charged of God to keep this record prayed for the eventual event and those who would participate in it. that they might be able to carry that record according to the promise given to them of their fathers. That the remnant that would be left would hear the words of this book. It was their record. The next advocate that's coming out has an article in there. You can go online and you can look at it right now, of the beginning of that work in 1951. And I ask you to go and read it and be familiar with it, because it fulfilled the prophecy. It fulfilled the prayers that were offered many, many, many years ago, that this record would come forth and be returned to the children that it was meant for, whose record it was. And it was going to be in a way that we were going to be, as a Gentile, to be a participant in it, all prophesied beforehand and fulfilled. Be encouraged that we can say this, that we can stand on that foundation, knowing and understanding that the prophecies concerning this work was fulfilled, and we hold it in our hands to verify the fact of the words of Christ and his teachings by his disciples and all his holy prophets who prophesied about this and about events that are going to be coming in the future that are not far off. That remnant is going to take a leading role, the seed of Joseph, in helping their brethren, the seed of Joseph, to understand who they are and the plan of God in the last days. The promise of the coming of the Book of Mormon in Mormon, the fourth chapter, verses 17 through 21. It's just on the page before, 706. It says, I am the son of Mormon, starting in verse 17, and my father was a descendant of Nephi. And I am the same who hideth up this record unto the Lord. The plates thereof are of no worth because of the commandment of the Lord. For he truly said that no one shall have them to get gain. Now when he says of no worth, that is physical worth. They were etched on plates of gold, which we all value today. But he says, for he truly saith that no one shall have them to get gain, but the record thereof is of great worth. And whoso shall bring it to light, him will the Lord bless. Again, speaking of Joseph Smith and those who participated in that work. For no one can have power to bring it to light, save it to be given him of God. For God will that it shall be done with an eye single to his glory, or the welfare of the ancient and the long dispersed covenant people of the Lord. Did you take note of that? It'll be an eye single to the glory of God, for the welfare of the ancient and the long dispersed covenant people of the Lord. I always wondered in my heart and mind why I always had an affinity for the house of Israel. Why I had this I guess you would call it love for his people. I don't think it's by accident. I believe God instilled it in me and in those of you that have picked these books up. And the Word of God has pierced your heart and gave you that understanding and the promises to his children and the role that we were going to play in the last days and the work and the great plan of salvation that the Lord was going to play for all mankind here in these last days. And then the reclaiming of his people, Israel. It's by no accident that we have that affinity to Israel. And verse 20, and blessed be him that shall bring this thing to light, for it shall be brought out of darkness unto light, according to the word of God. Yea, it shall be brought out of the earth, and it shall shine forth out of darkness, and come unto the knowledge of the people, and it shall be done by the power of God. And if there be faults, they be faults of men. And I want you to remember that too. I could have also said, you remember in the beginning, I said, and they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. I listed some people. I should have said the first president within the Mormon church. Because there's many things that they espouse that are not of God. And that's your challenge. Because the world knows the Book of Mormon through their eyes. And guess what? It's up to you to help them to understand the difference and to overcome the prejudice by the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost with your friends and acquaintances and the things that you do in your life, the opportunities that you have. Because they teach something totally different than what is taught in these two canons of Scripture, the Word of God. That's why we're different. We're set apart from them, of all the rest of the restorations. And I don't say that out of any pride, because there's a lot of good people that have been deceived. But it's our challenge. It is our commission to teach the truth. In the words of Christ, let's turn to 3 Nephi in the 10th chapter. In the 10th chapter, verses 30 through 32. It's on page 666. Verse 30, it says, and therefore give heed to my words. This is Christ speaking. Write the things which I have told you, and according to the times and the will of the Father, they shall go forth unto the Gentiles. And whosoever will hearken unto my words and repenteth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. Search the prophets, for many there be that testify of these things. That's the challenge that Christ put forth to those who heard his voice, that came after that great destruction that took place after his death and resurrection, as he taught those ancient people in the Americas face to face. He told them how. He told them how it was going to come forth. And what to do. Write those words, because it was very important. In 1 Nephi, in the 4th chapter, we have, let me see here, a couple of verses of Scripture that I will first read, and then we'll take, I'll use an example. In 1 Nephi, in the 4th chapter, we want to go to verse 16. It's on page 44. Here Nephi is teaching and says, and now the thing which our father, now this would be Lehi, meaning concerning the grafting in of the natural branches. through the fullness of the Gentiles. Now remember, I just read those verses of Scripture that was recorded by which were the words of Christ, where he said, give heed to my words and write these things which I have told you, and according to the times and the will of the Father, they shall go forth unto the Gentiles. Okay, so now I'm going to connect this here. That was way before. This was about 600 B.C. The time that Christ was speaking this was right at the turn of the millennium. And now the things which our Father meaneth concerning the grafting in of the natural branches through the fullness of the Gentiles is that in the latter days when our seed shall have dwindled in unbelief, yea, for the space of many years and many generations, after the Messiah shall be manifested in the body unto the children of men, then shall the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come unto the Gentiles, and from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. And that was fulfilled in 1951. When the gospel was brought back there by one of our apostles, Clarence. When the last remaining heir to the kingdom stood up and testified, that's our record. That's our record. To believe it. It's important for you to understand that. And again, I suggest you look at the next advocate and read it and think about how that event took place, because it was the fulfilling of these prophecies right here. And at that day shall the remnant of our seed know that they are the house of Israel. And that's an important part of this plan. And that they are the covenant people of the Lord. And then shall they know and come to the knowledge of their forefathers, and also to the knowledge of the gospel, their Redeemer, which was ministered unto their fathers by him. Wherefore they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer and the very points of his doctrine, that they may know how to come unto him and be saved. And this is what, again, that's what Christ had said when I read that in the 10th chapter, the 3rd book of Nephi. And whosoever will hearken unto my words and repent and is baptized shall be saved. The doctrine of Christ. I want to give you an example of the importance of the Book of Mormon in its role in coming together with the Scriptures, to bring both canon of Scriptures and bring life to them. One of the things that we read in the book, in the Bible, and it's a very familiar verse of Scripture. It's in Matthew in the 7th chapter. And we could read it in the verses 13 and 14. That's the 7th chapter of Matthew, verse 13 and 14. These are the words of Christ. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. The disciples long ago, when they were being taught of Christ, was speaking in these terms. Now I know he helped to explain some of those things among his followers. But we don't have it in the clarity that we have, that we can find in the Book of Mormon. Because of it being in the hands of many people throughout the years, the Bible, and all the translations and the different records being brought together, there were things that were lost. Things that were, as it says, some of those plain and precious things were omitted. I want to take you to the Book of Mormon in the 13th chapter of the 2nd Nephi. And let's look and see what the Book of Mormon says concerning those words of Christ that I just read. You could also read it in Luke in the 13th chapter. That's the same recording of that particular topic that Christ was speaking at the time. But here in 2 Nephi in the 13th chapter, verse 23 through 26, for this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that ye enter in by the way ye should receive. Okay. It was pretty plain, wasn't it? What was the gate? Repentance and baptism, right? That you might have the reception of the Holy Ghost. Okay, here we find that Christ was saying that he's talking to these people and he's telling them that that gate that they were going to have to go through, there's going to be many people that are not going to find it or understand to go through it. And there was going to be those, there was going to be a few that are going to understand that, only because of them not adhering or not understanding the Word of God or applying it to their lives. Jesus Christ had given them an example of this very thing in his own life when he walked with them. Remember when he went to John? And John said, you know, I'm not worthy. But Christ said, suffer it to be so. It would fulfill all righteousness. And John baptized Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was without sin. Why did he do that? To be an example to all of us who live in the flesh. That this was the commandment given of him of the Father. Something we had to do. A basic tenet, a basic teaching. That straight and narrow gate and the importance of it. And how is that importance being portrayed today in the Christian churches? You know? It's not really necessary. It's just an outward display. It's this or it's that. All you have to do is believe and say this prayer and you're saved. Is that what Christ taught? Was those were the words of Christ? No. So not only did Christ, through his example, he also taught them and told them that it was going to be difficult for people because they would turn away from that path that would be very easy. No different than in the days of Moses. Remember when they were bitten by serpents? And Moses was instructed of the Lord to raise his staff, and anyone who was bitten by those fiery serpents, look upon that staff, they would be saved. They would not die from that serpent's bite. But the accounts say that many died. Why? Because they refused to look. And that's the same explanation here that Christ was making. There'll be many that'll see these things, but they won't see them for what they are. And they'll turn them away. And there'll only be a few that will accept them and follow it. Let's turn to the words of Christ in 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter. In the 5th chapter, let's go to page 634, verses 32 through 37. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. This is the words of Christ. And this is my doctrine. It is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. So now you don't have to take my word for it. Take the word of those who penned this long ago. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. I bear record that the Father commandeth all men. It doesn't leave anyone out. Everywhere to repent and believe in me. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. They are they who shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. And verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine. And I bear record of it from the Father. And whoso believeth in me, believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Those are not my words. Those are the words of the Son of the living God. And the requirement came from his Father. And that's that narrow gate, which God expects all who has a desire to inherit the kingdom of God to walk through, that they might be a participant in the kingdom of heaven. In 2 Nephi, in the second chapter, there's more I'd like to bring to you concerning these things, that proofs of the Book of Mormon and the faith of those who kept the commandments of God. And it goes back a long ways. Sometimes we forget how far back this was promised, the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi in the second chapter. And let's see, verse 30, that's on page 89, or at least on mine. And he shall be like unto me. And this is, who's speaking here is Joseph of Egypt. Okay. And he shall be like unto me, for the thing which the Lord shall bring forth by his hand, by the power of the Lord, shall bring my people unto salvation. Now, how is Joseph of old in Egypt being compared to Joseph Smith and the work that he was going to be given of the Lord? If you remember your Sunday school lessons concerning Joseph, what did he do for his people? When he was sold, his brothers wanted to kill him, right? And they said, well, we don't want to really kill him. Maybe we'll just put him in this hole and let the Lord determine if he's going to live or die. And so he was taken in slavery and taken to Egypt. And the Lord blessed him because of his faith. And he became the number one man next to the Pharaoh, with the same power and authority as the Pharaoh, who in those days, Pharaoh was God. What a likeness, you know? Joseph had that power. And there was that famine, you remember? 7 years of famine. And the children of Israel were starving in their tents. And it was their youngest brother, Joseph, through the power of God, that preserved them. And they found a home and protection in Egypt because of the little brother. That same dynamic is going to happen in your life. It is. Joseph, the seed of Joseph, is going to work the same work with their brethren. You need to understand that. That's how long God's plan went clear back to the days of Joseph of old, that this would come forth, that those who were the remnant of the seed of Joseph would have it. Why? That they would be used in the hands of God to convince their brethren to preserve them as he did in the days of Egypt. And how beautiful that understanding is. Have you heard that before? You know? How beautiful is those promises and the depth of the plan of God for His children. And the purpose, the promises that He gave to His servant Abraham long ago, that through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. See how all those things come together through these records. The puzzles, the piece of the puzzle, the plan, come together that we might be able to see. And you have the opportunity to see it. It's before you. And the importance of it. In 2 Nephi, the second chapter, verses 19 through 23, it says, "Wherefore the fruit of thy loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write." So the fruit of thy loins being the seed of Joseph, and the loins of Judah, truly this is the record of Judah. There's no other tribe really represented here. It's of the tribe of Judah, the history. So it is with the history of Joseph right here. "And that which shall be written by the fruit of thy loins, and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah shall grow together." And that's what it means, that we have it, and that we can understand how it works, how the plan of God was going to work in the last days. "Unto the confounding" what? "Of false doctrines," right? Putting them down. Those things that are not of God, not part of His plan. No matter how much man would want to throw a bunch of things in there that are not of His plan. "And laying down the contentions and establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins of Israel. And bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days. And also to the knowledge of my covenants, saith the Lord." That's the importance of these things coming together. And that is the purpose behind which they are to come together. To put those things down. Again, unto the confounding of false doctrines, laying down of contentions. Remember, when you read in the scriptures that they were used many times by their brethren of old by bringing forth the truth of God. They couldn't contend against it. "Establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins and bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days and also the knowledge of my covenant, saith the Lord." So, that's the purpose behind it. Let's go to 2 Nephi in the 11th chapter. Again, like I said, that's the reason why I asked you to use your scriptures and follow along, because there's a lot of things that I'm covering here. Here on page 142, the promise to Joseph of old. Verse 40, "Wherefore, for this cause hath the Lord God promised unto me that these things which I write shall be kept and preserved and handed down unto my seed from generation to generation, that the promise may be fulfilled unto Joseph," that was Joseph of old, "that his seed should never perish as long as the earth should stand. Wherefore these things shall go from generation to generation as long as the earth shall stand, and they shall go according to the will and the pleasure of God, and the nations which shall possess them shall be judged of them according to the words which are written." Now that is something that we need to consider. It's something that, you know, should strike some contemplative thought. The nations which shall possess them shall be judged of them according to the words which are written. I mean, we've reached out to several nations, and there are those who have been baptized in them into the Church of Christ and have accepted the Word of God, the words of Christ, and these records. they are become part of those nations that possess them. And they'll be accounted. They'll be judged according to those things. There's a warning in that's given by Christ. It's in 3 Nephi in the 7th chapter. And it comes to us through Christ. Here on page 646, it's the third book of Nephi in the 7th chapter. Verses 34 through 37. And thus commanded the Father that I should say unto you, this is Christ speaking, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel and shall reject the fullness of my gospel and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations and above all the people of the whole earth and shall be filled with all manner of lies and of deceits and of mischiefs and all manner of hypocrisy and murders and priestcrafts and whoredoms and of secret abominations. And if they shall do all these things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And then will I remember my covenant which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel, and I will bring my gospel unto them. I, in my own personal belief, believe that that's already taken place. That's already taken place. Because our brethren down in South America has already accepted and acknowledged that this is their work. And they have taken hold of it. And the different events that have taken place that would point to that, and I won't go into it any deeper. I have in other sermons. But I believe that has already happened. So our focus is the reclaiming of Israel, as I see it here in the scripture. Not to mean that everyone in the world is exempt or cast out. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this period of time, the Lord is focusing on his children, Israel, that he might fulfill the promises given of their father Abraham long ago. Let's go to 2 Nephi in the 7th chapter, because these are the things that we're going to see that really caused that transition. In the 7th chapter of 2 Nephi, verses 23 through 26, it's on page 114. Wherefore he that fighteth against Zion, both Jew and Gentile, both bond and free, both male and female, shall perish. For they are they who are the whore of all the earth. For For they who are not for me are against me, saith our God. For I will fulfill my promises which I have made unto the children of men, and I will do unto them while they are in the flesh. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, thus saith our God, I will afflict my seed by the hand of the Gentiles. Nevertheless, I will soften their hearts of the Gentiles, and they shall be like unto a father to them. Wherefore, the Gentiles shall be blessed and numbered among the house of Israel. Wherefore, I will consecrate this land unto thy seed, speaking of the seed of Joseph, and they shall be numbered among thy seed forever for the land of their inheritance. It's important to understand that role that we've played and that we have in our hands in these last days towards the house of Israel and helping them to understand the fulfillment of God's blessings towards them and reclaiming them and bringing them back to the lands of their inheritance. We are to take upon the name of Christ. We are called the Church of Christ. We are going to be the standard bearers in the last days, holding the truth of the Bible and the Book of Mormon. that promise that is spoken of in the Book of Mormon. Let's go to that. Alma in the 15th chapter. It's important for you to understand because I believe we do this, and it kind of goes along with what our brother was talking about this morning in Sunday school. In the 15th chapter of Alma, and it's one verse of Scripture, verse 59. This promise is, for behold, this is on page 408, verse 59. The Lord doth grant unto all nations of their own nation and tongue to teach his word, yea, and in wisdom, all that he seeth fit that they should have. Therefore we see that the Lord doth counsel in wisdom according to that which is just and true. I want you to understand that promise, it says the Lord doth grant all nations, that leaves no one out, of their own nation and tongue to teach his word. What do we do? We haven't gone out and made a whole lot of translations. We go out by the leading of the Lord. And there are those who who find an affinity to the Word of God. And they are converted. And they are used as an instrument in the hand of God to speak to their own people the plan of salvation. And all those who go out to these different, in the Philippines, or in India, or where we go, that has been the case for a wise purpose. Because of this, the Lord doth grant. I've been able to be a participant of it when I was in Africa. Our brother Moses, or our brother Michael, when I spoke the word of God, they interpreted and the people heard, and they received it because of the power of God. That was there. I saw it in their eyes. When I was able to speak and Brother Moses spoke, Brother Michael, they understood because it was in their language. And they accepted the word of God. Fulfilling that thing that the Lord said, the Lord grants unto them that they might hear that word in their own language. And how beautiful that is. How simple is it? We didn't have to put together a huge committee to determine if we should leave this word in or this word out, like our brother was reading this morning from our counterparts concerning the Bible. The simplicity of the plan of God among the children of men. And we try to complicate it. I love that simplicity. I've got a few other things here, but I'm going to go to the end here. I want to take you to the words of Christ. In the third book of Nephi, in the 9th chapter, one verse of Scripture. And let me see here. So on page 656, verse 23, these are the words of Christ, and it happens to be a prayer. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them and also for all those who shall believe on their words, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. Sound familiar? Go to the 14th chapter of John and read that, in the 15th. 17th chapter. Jesus Christ is praying for us that we might understand and to take his word, to apply it to our lives, and to share it, and to participate in that great plan that God has in these last days. May God be with us in that endeavor.